Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
As voice of Chiefs Kingdom, he's seen the lowest of lows and the highest of highs.
You can doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike the Chiefs! You can disrespect the Chiefs! You're gonna have to deal with the Chiefs!
Your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Mitch Holthus with CDOT on The Drive.
Let me tell you guys that Mitch Holthus's appearance on The Drive is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center, and also by GEHA. They are a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, happy to have you on the show today. I missed you. Mitch, where are you?
Hey, there's a lot of stuff going on today, including we've got the Kingdom Show tonight, right, at Olathe 151st Street with Justin Reed, but we also have, as soon as I'm off the show there at 2 seconds, I'm out the door, Pat's Galas tonight, the Patrick and the 15 Mahomes Gala tonight at Lowe's. So lots going on in a busy week. So let's roll.
Absolutely. So Mitch, let's just start with this. What is it like to see the Chiefs Kingdom sort of grow and evolve over the course of the years that the Chiefs have had always had a very passionate and loyal fan base? But yesterday, it felt like a college team coming to take over another team's venue. When Xavier Worthy scored that touchdown, he went to the sideline. I didn't see many Raiders fans in attendance there. It sounded and felt like a Chiefs home game. You've seen, you know, Raiders games in Oakland, in Vegas. What is it like to see Chiefs fans now just come in and just take over another team's stadium?
Yesterday took the cake, though, C-Dot. I told the rest of our crew and I told Dana, I don't think I've seen a stadium take over like that in my 31 years as the voice of the Chiefs. I would venture to guess, I mean, I wish we could have the empirical data, but it looked like 70 to 75% Chiefs. And when the Chiefs run on the field for their last, you know, timeout before kickoff, it's like, boo. But, well, who's booing? Because these are Chiefs fans. So it's fake sound. SoFi does this, and so does Allegiant Stadium. But, you know, the black hole's not there anymore. Maybe some of those people come and travel to Vegas. Some of them, you know, are fans from Vegas, but they're like, yeah, we got to like the Raiders. Like, we like other teams. It's just a weird dynamic. But to answer your point, it's not just that stadium on that day. We have seen the Chiefs Kingdom grow globally. The impact in Germany, for sure, has been felt, but it's really around the globe and coast to coast. The Chiefs have developed this following that goes well beyond the old environs of the Midwest Chiefs Kingdom. This is unprecedented, and unprecedented for our community and our region. We've never had a sports team that has captivated in the most popular game in our country like the Chiefs. That is empirical, and the data just keeps flowing in. The Chiefs, people love the Chiefs more and more throughout the whole country and really around the world.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. It was just a lot of fun. It was exciting to see how people were yesterday and just kind of feel that energy. You could definitely feel it from the people in the attendance. All right, let's talk about the game. Let's talk about how the Chiefs won yesterday. There was a sequence there that, to me, showed you why the Chiefs are the Chiefs and why the Raiders are the Raiders. This game was still close, even though I didn't think that the Raiders were going to win this game. It was 17-13. The interception happens. The Chiefs are, excuse me, The Raiders have the ball first and goal from the 3-yard line. They lost 3 yards and had a turnover on down. At that moment, the game was over to me, and that is why the Chiefs, in my opinion, have the best defense in the league and have been the best team in the league, and that is why the Raiders are going to pick top five coming up in a couple of months.
Andy Reid and I are going to talk about this tonight. It's worth a listen at about 6:10 tonight on 96.5 The Fan on our network, because I asked him to dive into this very thing. Here's what was impressive about it, C-Dot, in that stand. The fact that Tranquil shoots the gap and defends the run. Justin Reid defends the check down pass to Alexander Mattison. And then you get penetration and a sack from Karlaftis. And then the next, it holds them to a field goal. Then the next time, they get nothing because it's Derek Nnadi, it's Turk Wharton, it's Bolt was in there. I mean, leaving somebody out here. It's like this, there were like 9 guys that all contributed, not even mention Chris Jones, who didn't get credit for any of that, but he helped make all of that happen. When you look at this Chiefs team and what they've been able to do in these 7 weeks defensively in goal to go or inside the 10 situations, C-Dot, you can go years and not see this. In that game yesterday, first and goal at the 4, 3 points. First and goal at the 3, no points. Go back to the Atlanta game. First and 10 for the Falcons at the 11. They get to the 6, no points. Fourth and 1 for the Falcons at the 3, no points. Baltimore, all the way back to the first game of the year. First and goal at the 7 with Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, field goal. Same with Cincinnati. First and goal at the 6, field goal. Chargers, fourth and 1 at the 3, field goal. That's a big reason this team is 7-0, because they've had 14 goal-to-go situations they've had to defend, and they're fourth in the league in fewest touchdowns allowed, but they've actually had to defend the most goal-to-go situations the Chiefs have of any team in the NFL in these first 8 weeks.
So, Mitch, the Chiefs make a addition to the defense. They pick up Joshua Uche, the defensive lineman from New England. It's funny because this is a move that the Patriots would have made, it feels like, 7-8 years ago. You know, the Patriot way. They get a guy who was a first or second round pick. You bring him into the fold and you think that it's going to work. Veach has made a couple of these moves over his career. We call him the Veach special on this show. What do you make of this move? What do you think that Uche's role is going to be down the stretch?
Well, and then let's get to D-Hop, because that's another Veach special, and throw it on the stack with the, Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine Veach specials, and getting Juju Smith-Schuster back. I mean, we're loading up the file of Veach specials here. With Uche, I think that you're getting, obviously, an accomplished pass rusher, because, just 2 years ago, he had 11.5 sacks. More than that, he had a lot of quarterback hits and hurries. But I think he's been a steady defender. I remember studying him a little bit last year when we played them and thought, ooh, he would fit Spags' scheme at some point, because he's not just a guy chasing sacks or getting upfield, you know, like the Boses and like, okay, you run under his armpit. He's a steady football player that looks to me that can make – I guess he just fits. I've not talked to him yet, haven't seen him yet. Curious to see him on the field and what he's going to be like. But part of the Veach special here, C-Dot – part of the Veach special is he gets guys that are not counterculture to what you have in place. I've been very impressed in my brief discussions with DeAndre Hopkins. It's in Drew Tranquil. We can go right down the line. Justin Reed, our guest tonight on the Kingdom Show. These guys not only assimilate into your culture, C-Dot, they've enhanced the culture. And I really expect that with D-Hop, and hopefully Josh can do the same thing in the fact that these guys add to what you have even beyond the field, and they don't work counterproductive to what you have off the field, because that can wreck a team. We've seen that before throughout the NFL and with the Chiefs throughout history.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holsis for a couple more minutes here. What did you notice from D-Hop? He didn't get a lot of snaps, didn't get a lot of targets and opportunities, but you know that his role is going to grow over the course of the remainder of the regular season. What did you see from him in game one?
Another thing we'll discuss tonight with Andy Reid, but here's what I saw. Okay, the third down pickup to open the game, to keep that drive going on the opening touchdown drive. How about the catch he made in the two-minute offense? He's on the field, C-Dot, in the two-minute offense. He was in our building Thursday morning, and he's in the two-minute offense. That's not just something you draw plays or have time to do. He was already ready for that situation. But what I saw that excites me as much as any of those two catches was how he's going to help the team when he never touches the ball. Do you find it a coincidence that Kelce had 10 catches for 90 yards yesterday? did you find a coincidence that Xavier Worthy looked like he was just freed up to play? I thought with Xavier, because he's a kid that will take on the responsibility. Hollywood goes down, Rashi Rice goes down, Juju Smith-Schuster goes down, and now all of a sudden a rookie who's in the first half of his first year is probably feeling the weight of the world on his shoulders. Like, dude, I've got to get this done. Now he can free up and play because D-Hop will go, I got you. Just do your thing. Go for a 54-yard go pattern and get a touchdown. I'll figure out some of the other stuff. But I thought it was an immediate impact where the subtle impact of DeAndre Hopkins, where Kelce has his best day so far this year, and Worthy was freed up to play and made big plays, including that touchdown that pushed the Chiefs ahead. We're up by two touchdowns.
Mitch, you have been around this Andy Reid system, and you probably talk to Andy as much as anybody. What struggles or challenges do you think that D-Hop is going to have in trying to learn this offense? We hear a lot about Andy Reid and how tough it is to kind of come in the middle of the season. You're really big on the summer and that creating that level of preparation. Yep. D-Hop's kind of joining the semester in the middle of it. How quickly do you think it's going to take him to get ready to become the D-Hop that he's been so far in his career?
Well, we're going to see a bit of it. We saw a bit of it already. But, yeah, there's a reason you have OTAs and the Chiefs are so good at it. And I've preached on it for years and years, and it's the reason they've been so good and have, you know, zeroing in on a 12th straight winning season with Andy Reid. I think it's the off-schedule plays for D-Hop. You know, you've got to learn how to play with Patrick. I'll say it tonight at the gala. We're all just riding our bikes to Pat's house. We're going to play and have an awesome time and get a pickup game. Well, with Pat, you've got to be ready to play the pickup game. I've already seen Samaje Perine do it. Did you see the chip and release? He gets the 22-yard gain against San Francisco. Those aren't necessarily the scheduled plays, but you've got to learn how to do learn the nuances of Patrick. And that does not happen overnight. That's not on your iPad or on the diagram. That is, oh, where's Pat going? Oh, I better do this if Pat's going over here. And that takes some time. So that will come. That will come with the weeks, and then that will come with Patrick's, I think, increased trust of DeAndre Hopkins. Now, we can sit here and look at any quarterback in the league and go, oh, he should have thrown to C-Dot. Look how he's open. Well, that's not even realistic many times because we're not seeing the fire that's in the face of Mahomes. But yesterday, there was one where he floats the pass to Xavier Worthy, Patrick does, and the ball's knocked down by Josh Jacobs guy, whatever, and he knocks it down. Well, D-Hop's wide open in the middle of the field. I think as time goes on, Patrick and D-Hop will learn to play together, but it's the off-schedule plays and DeAndre learning to play the pickup game with Patrick that Kelce can do in his sleep.
Mitch, I've never asked you this before. It's unrelated to the Chiefs, but I'm genuinely curious. Have you ever called a Hail Mary before, like we saw last night in Commanders and Bears?
Not with a dude that's over taunting the crowd. What are we doing? Like, why, the ball's going to be snapped. Does he not realize the ball's going to be snapped? And he's 40 to the, it's a 53-yard field lengthwise. So it's a 53.5-yard field. So he's literally, whatever half of that is, 37 yards away, taunting with people. Where am I supposed to be? Touchdown, game lost. No, I've not seen anything like that, but mainly because it was defensive malfeasance of somebody who would rather taunt than win the game. Now, if we want to talk about culture or just where sports is right now, and social media doesn't help this because I would rather taunt you than win the game. And that showed up yesterday, I think, in that contest, because now he's had to apologize to his teammates, and I appreciate that. But still, that play shouldn't have worked if Chicago does their job, if everybody does their job. It is also a great indication of where we are in football, where you always say 11 guys got to do their job every time. Well, that's a perfect example of one guy didn't do what he was supposed to do, and the Bears lose a game they could ill afford to lose because their division is rock solid. If that game keeps them out of the playoffs, that play will be played over and over and over, and you'll see it May, June, and July, or you'll see it on some sports show going, you know, the flubs of the week or whatever. So, no, I've never seen anything like that, but mainly because of defensive malfeasance.
Last thing here, Mitch, and I appreciate your time. I know you don't look ahead as much, but you know us sports talk radio guys, we can't help. We love to look ahead. I'm kind of looking at the one seed conversation, at least Baltimore. Baltimore is four games back of Kansas City with 2 months to go. It's just hard to think that Baltimore is going to be in a position where they have the one seed over Kansas City. I'm still open to the possibility of Houston and Buffalo just because those two teams play Kansas City, so you got a chance to gain ground directly and have a tiebreaker over them. But just as we are halfway through the NFL season, I mean, there's only three teams realistically that have a chance at the one seed, and obviously Kansas City, with them still being undefeated, they have a huge leg up in these final 2 months of the season.
I don't care if it's one or five. You got to take care and get to that bye. I know that you pay attention every week to The Minute with Mitch on Channel 41 on Thursdays or on the Chiefs Radio Network. I know that it's appointment. You have your phone set up to notify you.
Locked in.
Ding. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Because you already know then what I said about the schedule. And was the bye too early? I said no, because it's the Tour de France. You're just taking it's 5-7-5 the way the season breaks out. But if you get the one seed this year, CDOT, the Chiefs will play one game in 24 days. And to me, that will be a plus. Don't give me the rust. We'll talk about, I know I'm way ahead of myself here. I'm, 2 months ahead of myself. That will be like an additional training camp for Andy Reid and this team. Because now you're going to have time for D-Hop, time for Juju Smith-Schuster, maybe Hollywood Brown, coming back not only from injury, but getting back into the flow of things. The one seed might be as important as ever this year. So I don't care if it's six teams or two teams or just the Bills. The Texans will be there too. But, yeah, I mean, you got the Ravens and Bengals are looking at a whole bunch more hard games. I mean, the Ravens aren't done with hard games here. And the Chiefs have had a pretty tough path to get to this 7-0. But you zero in on that bye because you may get a freebie training camp at the end of December and early January while everybody else is slugging it out to get to you.
And that is Mitch Holtz's. His appearance on the show is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Also by GEHA. They are a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, you got a busy day ahead of you. You got Chiefs Kingdom coming up with Justin Reed. You got Patrick Mahomes shindig later today. This is one of your busier Monday nights.
I'm all collapsed at about 2 a.m. because there wasn't a whole lot of sleep last night, but that's okay. I just got to ask you, though. The question of the day, would you rather taunt Rob or beat Rob?
I mean, I'd much rather win. But you know what? Rob and I are on the same team, Mitch. We're on the same team here.
But you catch my drift. Why are we want to taunt dudes more than we want to beat them. Social media, I can't wait to taunt you. Well, no, just play the game, okay? Dude, go to your job and knock down the pass. I'm terrified the Bears won't make the playoffs. It'll be because of that moment that everybody looks at.
That is Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs joining us on the show. Mitch, I appreciate your time as always.
See you, man.
Absolutely. That is Mitch Holtz joining us on the show today. Let me play this audio for you guys. Now, I do not understand why we are already starting the undefeated conversation with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, maybe you guys are going to think that I'm being Buzz Killington, but you know what? If the Chiefs are undefeated, when we get to Black Friday, I will start having that conversation with you. When they get to six games remaining in the schedule, sure, I will have that conversation with you about the Chiefs being undefeated. But until we get to that point, I just cannot get myself to talk about a team being undefeated when we're not even at their halfway point and they're not even halfway done with their game. So I don't think the Chiefs are going undefeated. That is not me telling you that I don't think the Chiefs are good or going to go to the Super Bowl. I just don't think that they're winning every single game this season. For some reason, the talk about this has really picked up over the course of the last couple of weeks so much. I want to play for you guys what Mike Renner had to say. He is on CBS. Here's what Mike Renner had to say.
This is one of the fakest undefeated teams right now in the NFL. They're blowing nobody out. 5-1 score wins so far in the season. They ain't going undefeated. They're going to drop one. They could lose to the Broncos this upcoming week. Ooh. They are a good team. They're not a great team. They're not going undefeated.
Really? Whoa, so you got a hater.
Mike, how many teams are better than the Chiefs right now?
I'm not saying anyone's better than them, but they're not this juggernaut that goes undefeated, right? There's a reason one team did in the past 25 years, and they were blowing teams out left and right. They're doing the Patriots, so it just ain't gonna happen.
Why are we even talking about this? I don't think the Chiefs are going undefeated. again, maybe you guys are, well, who's going to beat them then? If you really need to go through that, I think you're going to beat the Chiefs. I'm happy to go through that exercise with you. I think they lose one of the two games to the Broncos. I think they lose on the road against Buffalo. And I think they lose one of the they have in 10 days. I think this team finishes 14-3. Maybe you're mad at me. How can you say that? They win 14. I have them as the one seed. They get the bye week. They win 14 games. That sounds like a year that everybody would take. Who's got the Chiefs going undefeated? What are we doing here? Why are we having these conversations before Halloween about teams going undefeated? One team's done it. Two teams have done it in the whole 100-something year history of the NFL. Why are we having undefeated conversations? I don't think this team's going to lose. Fakest undefeated team ever. What are we even talking about? They're not the 07 Patriots? Is that what we're arguing? No, they're not the 2007 Patriots. If that's what you want me to agree to, Mike Renner, sure. I don't think they're that. They don't need to be. You know what they are? The best team in the 2024-2025 NFL season. That's all they need to be. They don't have to be better than any other Chiefs team that we've seen. They don't have to be better than any historic NFL team that we have. They just got to be better than all the teams that are currently playing. And right now, so far, through the first 2 months of the season, they have been. That's it. That's all they need to be. I don't know why we're having this conversation so early about a team. That is going to be my stance. Anytime you ask me this, hey, do you think they're going undefeated? Is it Thanksgiving yet? If we're not at Thanksgiving, then I don't want to talk about it yet. When we get to Thanksgiving, and if the Chiefs are still undefeated, we can happily have that conversation about them going undefeated. Once you get to like 11-12-0, I'm happy to have that conversation. Hey, there's a chance they actually do this. You're talking about a perfect game in the fourth inning. No. I think the other team gets a hit at some point. I don't know when they get a hit, but history suggests that another team is going to get a hit if you got a perfect game going into the fourth inning. That's what I think we're talking about with the Chiefs. We're talking about perfect games in the fourth inning. It's way too early. Once you get to the seventh inning, sure, we can start to have that conversation. Not before that, though.
But we both know why this is happening. Two reasons. One, first and foremost, I don't know if I'm defending Mike Renner by saying this, but over on CBS, Pete Prisco did say the Chiefs are going undefeated, which... Wasn't Pete Prisco at one point a noted Chiefs hater? So that's a wild pivot in his career. But he has the Chiefs and undefeated, which is why this was discussed on the desk from Mike Renner. That's first and foremost.
Well, then he's wrong, too. All of them are wrong, then. All of them are wrong. This isn't just the Mike Renner. This is anybody. This is Danny Parkins, Nick Wright, Adam Schefter, whomever. If you were talking about the Chiefs being undefeated on October 28th, you were having the wrong conversation.
And that conversation is coming up because... Now, I think this week in the NFL told us anything can happen on any given Sunday. But let's look at the Chiefs' schedule heading into the Bills game. Broncos at home, you feel like it's an auto win. Bucks at home.
I don't know if the Broncos at home are auto win.
I just don't believe in the Broncos. But we can talk about that at Broncos week. They are, I bet the ESPN analytics show that's a 65% chance to win. Bucks at home with exactly zero wide receivers, probably in the same camp. Those two games. Now, the Bills game will be a toss-up. But if you get to the Bills, you then have the Raiders and Panthers on the back half. Like, and then the Browns, by the way. So there is one game where the average fan or the average media member looks at it and goes, oh, it's losable. That's what this conversation is happening. It's because they're 7-0 and people are forecasting 9-0. And at 9-0, the conversation 1,000% starts on the Parkins, Nick Wright, Bomani Jones, Skip Bayless type of shows. It just... It's coming because of what's coming down the pike.
Now, they have played one more game than them, so that obviously changes things. Did you know that right now the Broncos have given up less points than the Kansas City Chiefs and have a better point differential than the Chiefs? I'm not telling you that I think the Broncos are as good as the Chiefs. I'm telling you that I feel that either the Broncos or the Chargers are going to make the postseason. If you're asking me today, I think the Broncos are making the postseason. It just feels like every year there's one of those just random weird years that just it doesn't make sense. And they put it together. They're just good enough where they end up making it. And I think that's Denver this year. I really do. I can't fully explain it with Denver. I don't think Denver is very good. It's something weird about this Broncos team. They've been kind of pesky this year. They really have. They've been kind of pesky this year. And I could just see them playing like a weird, low-scoring game against the Chiefs, and they just figure...
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Right away to win. I can sense it. Offense turns the ball over a couple times. Raiders. So I'm just not putting the Broncos game in the auto win category. They're going to be favored, I would guess, by at least 6.5 points in both of the matchups. Who? Let's see that end of the season game. Who knows who's playing, who's not playing. I just wouldn't put the Broncos in an auto win category. We're halfway through the season and the Broncos are 5-3. The Broncos have been one of the bigger surprises in the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, we were joined by somebody in New England to get their thoughts on the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll play for you what he had to say next. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I do want to play this audio for you guys, these cuts. I don't know if I need to clarify my Broncos thoughts. I don't think they need clarification, but I'm happy to have the conversation anyway. I'm being called Denver Dot on the text line. There's only 8 teams that can make the postseason in the AFC. 7 of them have to make it. Rob, tell me if you think that one of these, if I have missed any team, out of these 8 teams, 7 of them are making the postseason. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Houston, Indianapolis, Kansas City, Denver, Los Angeles. Can you see any other team in the AFC that is in that conversation? Because Miami, New England, and the Jets all have 2 wins. Cincinnati is 3-5. Cleveland is 2-6. Jacksonville's 2-6. Tennessee is 1-6. And the Raiders are 2-6. Can you see any of those other teams being in this conversation? So it's not me that I love the Denver Broncos. It's just 7 of these 8 teams have to make it. Either Denver or the Chargers are making the postseason this year. That's how it works.
Or both. I mean, both could make it in that world, too.
Absolutely. So, I mean, out of this conversation, we can cross some of these teams off. Kansas City is 100% making the postseason. Houston is 100% making the postseason. Buffalo is 100% making it, and Baltimore is 100% making it. So between Pittsburgh, Indy, Denver, and the Chargers, 3 of those teams are making it, and 4 and 1 of them is not making it. So you can tell me who you think it is. If you don't think it's Denver, that's fine. Then you think the Chargers are making the postseason, then. And again, that's fine. If you want to argue the Chargers, that's perfectly fine. But that's the list. There are not that many other good teams. And that's why when on the text line, it's like, oh, well, the Broncos haven't played anybody. There's not that many good teams in the National Football League, certainly not in the AFC. All of those teams are in the NFC. Washington's good. Philly has proven, I think, to be a pretty decent team. The Lions are good. The Packers are good. The Vikings are good. Atlanta's pretty decent. And there's only 3 good teams in the AFC. I don't know how, who are the good teams you're supposed to be playing and beating if the AFC is just, it's not nearly as strong as we thought it was going to be this year. The AFC is just, it's not very strong at the top, where I think the NFC is actually pretty good from 2 through 7. I don't think the AFC is.
I mean, it's the AFC, I think, is a better conference because the top is better, but there is no depth in the league. Like, someone in the text line says, I think Cincy's getting in. Maybe you put Cincy in part of that group of 3 people getting 5 spots because their schedule's kind of soft.
And really quickly, if you want to have the conversation that the Broncos haven't beaten anybody, the Bengals' 3 wins are Carolina, the Giants, and the Deshaun Watson Cleveland Browns. So if any criticism that you have of the Broncos is very fair, the Bengals have been the worst version of the Denver Broncos. The Bengals have not won a home game yet.
Mm-mm.
It's Halloween. They haven't won a home game yet. Think about that. They have 0 home wins. So I don't have Cincinnati making the postseason.
I don't either. I was just saying, someone on the text line says you need to throw them in the category of that.
I'm not throwing them in there. No, you can. You can. I'm not putting them in my list.
I would lean toward them being out too, but I mean, that's the problem. A team like Cincy, they're out on your list. They're on someone else's list. I could see an argument for both sides. That sort of team is going to be the 7 seed. This is like the gift and the curse of the NFL expanding the playoffs. There's a gift because more football, and boy, oh boy, can America not do anything more than love football. But you know what? It means riffraff gets into the playoffs.
100%.
Like, last year, the Steelers were a playoff team. Right now, do you remember who the Steelers' quarterback was? It was Kenny Pickett and some Mitch Trubisky starts. What? Why is that a playoff team? The Dolphins, by the time they had come to Arrowhead, now they were depleted by injury. Riffraff. Mitch Trubisky took his Bears team to the playoffs one year. Riffraff. Like, this is what it looks like. So, yes, I think the Broncos are probably a playoff team, but being a playoff team does not mean you're good. It just means you're in.
100%. I 100% agree with you. I think the Broncos have just shown a weird level of peskiness this year that I think the Broncos are making the postseason. I'm just looking at the rest of the AFC. I'm looking at their defense and how they've played. I think the Broncos are going to figure out a way to win 9 games, and I think they're going to be the 7 seed in the AFC playoffs. Let me play for you guys what Alec Barth had to say. He is with 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. He covers the New England Patriots. So, Josh Uche, the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs, he had 11.5 sacks in 2022. Since then, he has not been anywhere close to that level. We asked Alex Barth what has been different with Uche since then.
So it's a couple things. You know, he's been banged up, which is one part of it. At least he was last year. He also, you know, down the stretch in 2022, at the start of that season, Matthew Judon was playing incredibly high-level football. And around the midway point, teams started adjusting to basically taking Matthew Judon away, and that allowed Josh Uche to get a number of one-on-ones. He was able to win those with regularity, and yeah, like you said, 11.5 sacks in 2022. He has 20.5 for his career. So it was really all the second half of that season. He went on a tear. He hasn't been able to replicate that. Matthew Judon's out most of last year. They traded before this season. So as the Patriots' top pass rusher, he hasn't been effective. As a complimentary pass rusher, he's been very good, but we haven't seen that version of him in a couple of years.
That is Alex Barth of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. I want to play a couple more cuts so you guys can learn a little bit more about Josh Uche. So in his career, he has 20.5 sacks. 11.5 of those sacks came in one season, and the remaining sacks have come over the course of 4 years. So he had one massive year, which he hit 50 home runs, and then he's just been okay the rest of the years. I like this move. I think this move makes a lot of sense for Kansas City, and it is in line with the kind of moves that they do. This is a buy very, very low and hope that there is a little bit of production left. And if you think, if you're the Chiefs, and you have to, given the trade that you made, if you think there's a little bit of magic left there, you didn't give up a whole lot to see. He is making less than $1 million between now and the end of the season, and you gave up a 2026 sixth-round pick. So the compensation is negligible, and if you think that he can help you as a pass rusher, you guys know there are two things I will never get mad at you for adding for. I will never complain about you adding more guys that can get to the quarterback. You can never have too many corners on your team. Your team can never have too many of those players that are productive at those two spots. Let me play what Alex Barth had to say. He thinks that this is a really good addition to a contending team, and that's what the Chiefs are.
I think it's a great trade. One, because like you said, he's not going to be a focal point, right? Chris Jones, all those other guys up front, he's going to be able to come in, play situationally, and go try to win one-on-one. On top of that, so Uche was actually on an expiring contract last year, and it didn't seem like he'd be back. And a lot of people thought they'd move him last year, and the reports were that they could get an early day three pick for him at that time. They didn't end up moving him. He kind of falls off in the second half of the season. They bring him back this year on a one-year prove-it deal. And he's failed to live up to that. But you're talking about they went from potentially getting a fourth or fifth round pick for him to a future sixth. So I think the Chiefs get a player that will help them, and they probably didn't pay as much as they would have for a similar player a year ago at the same time.
I really like this move for Kansas City. I think it makes a lot of sense. I do think that this move says sort of where they feel they are with Mike Dana and his injury. But again, if you're adding another pass rusher to your defensive line, it's not a bad thing to add. You've got Chris Jones. You've got George Karloftis. Felix has played a lot better over the course of the last couple of weeks. You add Uche into the mix. You're expecting to get Charles Omenihu back. We'll see what the status looks like with Mike Dana. If you have four or five capable pass rushers, that is not a bad thing for a defense that I think has proven itself. At this point, it's top two. Either you think Pittsburgh's defense is the best in the NFL or you think it's the Chiefs. There is not another team in the league I will listen to that you think is in that conversation. Coming up on the other side, we're going to take a little bit closer look at Josh Uche, more of a scheme fit and how he's going to fit into this defense. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk more about the Chiefs' win yesterday against the Raiders, but the Chiefs have made a trade for Joshua Uche. Let's learn a little bit more about him. We are going to be joined by Sean Syed. He is with Sumner Sports to talk more about the fit and what kind of player they are getting with Uche. Sean, man, happy to have you on the show today, man. We appreciate you.
I really appreciate it. You know, and I, of course, appreciate the Chiefs continuing to make trades. The trade deadline can be a fun time, and teams like the Chiefs are showing us just that.
Absolutely. Let's just start with this. What kind of player are they getting with Uche? His football card, there's one year that just stands out like a sore thumb, and then he has just had three and a half very mediocre seasons.
Yeah, you know, Uche had that awesome 2022 year, and if you just look at some of the positives about him, you know, he is a versatile pass rusher. I think that he can give you some speed off the edge. You can drop him out into pass coverage. So I think that's something that can be exciting for Kansas City. But look, he got traded for, you know, a 2026 sixth round pick. I wouldn't expect him to come in and have 10 sacks on the season or anything like that. But I think it's an important piece to continue to add depth to that defensive line. Because if you can just take some of those reps off of Chris Jones, obviously he's not playing defensive end as much, but you just ease the pressure on everyone else just a touch. That, I think, helps the whole entire unit work later in the season.
If you had to explain that 2022 season to someone who didn't see him play, what was the biggest reason he was so effective that year?
You know, certainly part of its usage, he's being used a little bit differently and certainly a lot less this year. I think whenever you get, you know, Bill Belichick is the best defensive coach of all time, maybe. And obviously you get Whit Spags. I think hopefully that will be a good combination. For me, the most important thing looking at it was, all right, well, are his kind of his advanced tracking metrics, so like literally how fast this guy is moving, are they still kind of holding up? And certainly they were really, really good in 2022, but his get off, so the time from him exiting his stance or crossing the offensive line of scrimmage, it's still at a really good pace. So I do feel like, you know, you take that 22 season, and certainly a lot of that is, you know, sacks sometimes, production is not as stable as just how many pressures you're able to create. So I do feel like you can feel positive where, look, he's still moving. It may not be at the exact same pace, but it's still at a level where I think you can expect at least some pressures on the season.
Sean, I've seen a lot of stats to say that his win rate is very high and would be second on the team behind Chris Jones. We love basketball comparisons on this show. This feels like an NBA team that brings in a guy to just play defense and knock down some threes. We don't need you to be a prolific scorer. We need you to stand in the corner and knock down some threes. I think for what the Chiefs are going to ask Uche to do, I think he fits, and you got to factor in the cost of acquisition. He's not making a lot of money, and they give up one of the smaller assets that you could to acquire a player. Very, very little risk attached to this move.
I think that's a perfect way to look at it. And I think that's really how people should look at the trade deadline, where, of course, we look at it and we think, all right, well, is someone going to trade for Myles Garrett? Is someone going to trade for Max Crosby? But really, if you are a team that is performing well, like obviously the Chiefs are, and you can just fill a little bit of a role, or you can just add depth to a unit, that I think is where the best teams are going to be able to prosper at the trade deadline. And of course, the Chiefs add Hopkins, that relieves stress on all the players in the receive room. And then Uche, just again, he doesn't have to be your all-pro player. So I really, really like that move. I'm glad you mentioned the cost of acquisition. Look, when you're a team that you're going to be drafting at the end of these rounds, a lot of the times you're able to trade back, you're able to add on capital kind of year over year. That is really, you know, it makes it a little bit easier to give up some of those late round picks. So overall, I think it's a smart move. I don't want to come in and be like, oh, this is going to change every single thing. I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to be playing late in February no matter what. But just the small things that give your defensive coordinator just a little bit more depth on that defensive line. I think it's a real positive move. And, you know, I think other teams should look at it and say, hey, we need to be able to find that. You know, can we trade for Za'Darius Smith? Or, you know, just depending on how much how that cost is, can we add to our units as well?
Right now we're talking to Sean Syed for a couple more minutes here. He is with Sumner Sports, getting his thoughts on the move that the Chiefs have just acquired Josh Uche. Just from watching him in your study, what are some strengths that you think he has? What are some of his weaknesses? What are some of his flaws as a player and a prospect?
So I think he can have speed off the edge. I think he's able to, you know, beat you around there and, you know, be a little bit versatile, I think, with his length at different points. I think, you know, offensive tackles can get on him a little bit. You know, I want to see just how he's going to be able to deal with just, you know, really, really rock solid kind of edge players. I really like, you know, versatility from players in general. I know the Chiefs do as well, so I like that he can drop into coverage a little bit. Now, do I expect him to be covering, you know, like star running back? That's actually probably not, but, you know, a player that is able to do that comfortably, certainly when you have Steve Spagnuolo, who's going to do that often, that I think is an enticing thing for this defense.
Looking at the rest of their defensive line, how would you evaluate the way Felix Onyedike Uzomah has played? I think a lot of people are kind of trying to put one and one together and say, hey, this is how the Chiefs feel about Felix, that they have gone out and made a move for a very similar player at his position. But his usage has gone up over the course of the last couple of weeks, and he's really starting to play better.
Yeah, I do think he's been playing better. And you know, some of that is, obviously, I think in week five, he only took like, you know, 11 or 12 snaps. And sometimes it's, you know, you have to be able to get into a rhythm as a young player. And so I wouldn't look at it as, oh, they're just, you know, they're taking FAU and going to knock him out of the lineup, and Uche's going to eat up all of his snaps. But again, I think if you're a player that is just really going to be, you know, sometimes a designated pass rusher, having more bodies to throw at the problem, I think that helps for a team overall. So do I think that, you know, he's living up to, you know, like a round one selection, obviously at the back end of the first round, maybe not yet, but these players take time. So, you know, you can hope that you bring in Uche, you know, he has a unique skill set. He has obviously years accrued in the league. He can maybe help FAU kind of come along and become the player that the Chiefs want him to be.
Last question here. I think a lot of people still want the Chiefs to be in on a wide receiver. Is there one of those second or third tier wide receivers that you think make a lot of sense? I would really like Diontae Johnson. I'm not sure if the Chiefs are going to spend what it would take to go get Diontae Johnson. I think a lot of people wanted them to get DeMarcus Robinson. Don't think he's going to be available as well. I'm not sure that the Rams are going to be sellers. Are there any wide receivers that you think that the Chiefs could realistically add that could help bolster the depth?
You know, I mean, before the Christian Kirk injury, I think that might have been one that I think people would have liked. Diontae Johnson is still my biggest one, just because, you know, he is such a separator. I think that is a situation where you have Kelce and Hopkins, who, of course, are going to be bigger bodies and kind of hold things underneath end zone coverage at times. And, you know, we saw against the Raiders where that opens things up for Xavier Worthy. I would love for them to trade for another receiver, but at the end of the day, it feels like they probably won't make a move in that way. Certainly, as you mentioned, just, you know, other teams are going to be looking for Diontae Johnson. Other teams are going to be just driving the price up on really every receiver, because it's not that easy, I think, to just bring in a really good receiver. So it feels like, hey, you know, you're in such a good spot at this point. Even if we could, you know, sit in the room and say, hey, you know, it would be nice to add another guy, it still feels like, hey, this is the best team in the league. Everyone's looking up at you. You don't have to mortgage too much of the future to continue to try and win that next Super Bowl.
And that is Sean Syed. He's with Sumner Sports, giving us a little bit more information on Josh Uche, who was the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He had 11.5 sacks back in 2022, and he is now playing for the Chiefs. Sean, great stuff, man. We appreciate you hopping on.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Sean Syed. He is with Sumner Sports, joining us on the show today. Happy to get his thoughts on this. I really do like the move. We have seen Veach do this numerous times over the course of his career. A former second round pick that you can get for the cheap. You don't give up a lot to acquire the player. You add him into the mix and see if he has anything left. These are the kind of moves that the Patriots used to do back in the day. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll continue to talk about Josh Uche, who is now the newest member of the Chiefs. And there is really only one sequence from yesterday's game that needs to be discussed. I'll explain it. Keep it right here. It's the drive.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.